to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the ish gets real.
People get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He could play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and this is Video Game Bang, brought to you by Energy Esports, Oblivion Comics and Coffee, and Mainframe USA. As always, tonight's show is being broadcast live on twitch.tv/videogamebang, /video_game_bang, YouTube. What is that?
The Video Game Bang.
The Video Game Bang. Nobody uses it. No. That's why I
actually
don't care.
I've had a couple of people say,
oh, you have?
Yeah, I really have.
Tell them that 2017 called and they want them back. Also, you can watch it on Facebook. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/videogamebangbang. And we have a good show. We have a guest. You guys may recognize him. You can see him there in the beautiful bottom right corner of this box. You guys are going to miss him if you guys, like his chatting. But now you can hear him chat with his mouth. And let's see if he could put his mouth where his fingers have been.
Okay, that's...
I don't know. I'm off today.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
I've missed two shows. This is what happens.
Wow.
Joel, Gaming Sense Gaming, what's going on, man?
Oh, we're doing me first?
We're doing you first.
What's up, man? So, nothing's going on. What's up?
Are you ready to put your mouth where your fingers are?
We've never done anything before, people. are we new here?
What? I switched it up one time.
Good Lord.
And now the show's in chaos.
Pandemonium.
Yeah. He is here, as always.
Wow.
You know, just kind of doing his thing.
Still don't know who he's talking about by now. Could be either of us.
He's very, very urban.
Oh, it's me.
Still could be either of us.
David Webb, what's going on, man?
What is going on, everybody?
How have you been? How's it been in my absence? You've been holding down the fort?
I'm sick. And
what?
This show. It's off to a rocky start.
We're going places.
we're going places.
All right, you were done.
Okay. I was done. Okay. I'm sorry.
And then
rough.
And then the man who's been taking over the world by storm, the podcasting scene by storm.
Wow.
In fact, I've learned some tips from this man.
Did you?
You already introduced me. It's Aaron's turn.
Aaron Carter. How's
what's happening, everybody? What tips did you learn?
Apparently, soundboards are back in.
Oh, yes, yes.
I mean, that was pretty year one for me. I remember the first year we had a soundboard.
Uh-huh.
We used it pretty effectively.
Uh-huh.
You know, and when I did it, it was a big, you know, annoyance. But Aaron brings out the soundboard, and it's cool.
Well, you gotta sprinkle it in, you know, over some good, you know, good stuff.
Well, to prepare, I prepared a soundboard.
Wow.
I'm ready to get into
the game.
You got
some new ones? You got some new ones?
Here it is. Here's one for you. I'll wait until after the meeting.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't want it to conflict. All right, here we go. My soundboard. I wanted to make it hilarious.
Okay.
I wanted to choose sounds that were so funny.
But are they relevant?
Maybe.
All right.
Because I want it to be a comedy.
Yeah.
So here we go.
My name is Borat. I like you. I like sex.
Oh, man. Borat.
Now, when will you use that?
And it's so long, too.
And it's very long.
But
it's, like, tremendously long.
It doesn't matter if it's funny.
Mm.
And nothing is funnier than Borat.
Well, see, I don't think I chose any of mine for funny. I think it was just situational. Like, if we had a... Yeah, it was just situational.
Like Mofruit in chat said that she wasn't going to be on the show because she wanted to play Splatoon.
Yes.
Okay. So we slapped her.
I can make my soundboard situational. All
right.
Aaron, ask me how my sister has been.
Oh, good Lord.
This could literally go anywhere.
This could go anywhere. How has your sister been?
My sister, she's a prostitute.
Yeah, see?
Bull rat. Soundboards.
That's a far stretch. Like, you have to have your sister come up in conversation to run with that.
Debatable.
No, it kind of isn't. The whole thing literally just says,
so
my sister.
In your mind, Corey, we've seen here. Oh, did you see the new Destiny 2 teaser? My sister.
Yeah, exactly.
A prostitute.
That was a terrible impression. I mean, I have the soundboard. You don't need to impersonate it.
You were going too slow.
I mean, I can push the button again if you need me to.
Do you have the basics? I was going for the basics when I found this. So I needed the booze because Katie was on. I needed the applause, for anything, applause because there it is, and what did I had the SmackDown one,
The damn son.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was the good one.
I kind of just pulled all mine from Borat.
So you downloaded the Borat soundboard, is what you're saying?
Actually, thank you.
Yeah, no.
See, Borat, okay, though. That one was perfect. It was short, to the point.
So the length was perfect. The timing was terrible.
Well, maybe I'll have to go back to the old drawing board. I thought everyone loves Bo Rat, and that if soundboards are what's hot, that this would get us by. I still, think it is funnier than your soundboard, but we'll just agree to disagree.
I'm guessing you really like that soundboard then. You came in the chat room too when we were going through the show. I don't know what point you came in. Maybe it was when I was doing the sad music.
Okay. That's when it was.
Yeah, all right.
So if you guys have not known, we've been fairly busy the last couple weeks. We did the whole stunt with Sacramento Kings, which went very, very well. You can actually see the video. It's on the Energy YouTube.
Some HD stuff too. It's crisp.
We're Reddit famous now too. It did very well on Reddit.
You put it on Reddit? Wow.
I didn't put it on Reddit. The community put it on Reddit. And, I felt like I had to go in there preemptively and defend myself.
Don't.
I did.
That's a Reddit people.
I did. And to my surprise, Reddit community has been very, very supportive. So good job, Reddit.
I mean,
it's words were never uttered before now.
Well, true. It's very true. I kind of went on there, and I was very more so than anything I've ever put out there. I was more apprehensive about this one because I felt like since I'm not a hardcore through and through true blue member of the Smash 4 community, that calling a match like that in that setting would be kind of facetious or put me in a position where, I didn't earn it.
Okay.
I wanted to represent the community accurately.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think we have two totally different mentalities going into something. So whenever I was, semi-commentating for the tournament that we had at, Barnes & Noble or whatever it was,
pregame.
Yeah, there you go. I went into it and was like, I'm just calling it as I see it. I don't need to rep what this thing is. I'm making this entertaining for somebody to watch right now.
But here's where that could go wrong. You said there goes the KKK Meta Knight.
No, that's incorrect. I said there goes the Grand Wizard Meta Knight.
Sorry, I misspoke. That was my fault. That is what you KKK can't do.
Too long. So
that's what you can't do. In the Glow 1 Center.
You can. It just won't be smiled upon. That's the difference.
I'd be frowned upon.
I don't know. I'm all for entertaining the people. I like to entertain the people. But before that, it has to be in the right sense.
Right.
In this setting where we're representing a community in front of a group of people who've never been exposed or who largely have never been exposed to esports.
Correct.
More specifically Smash 4 esports. I want to present it in a way that's authentic and correct to that community first. I want to do them justice. I don't want to make it about me. I don't want it to be ill-informed or give people the wrong impression. I want it to toe that line. So where the Kazzies, as we call it, the casuals, would understand it and the hardcore fans could appreciate it. And the feedback from Reddit was super positive. YouTube comments are another... That's another beast.
I haven't looked at those. Whoa. YouTube. I might have to.
They're not terrible. Okay. They really just, but they did call me out on things. And even like I miscalled some moves. And the first time I watched it back, I knew exactly what I'd said wrong. And I called it right the second time. But when you're there in that moment with all those people and kind of watching it from a distance, I messed up a few things.
Plus, you had to explain the game while keeping it entertaining. And calling the shots and answering questions to your co-host.
Yeah, Mr. Fresh.
Mr. Fresh.
So thank you, Reddit community. Thank you, Smash community. I spent the full weekend with those people. it down there in Southern California, Civil War. Insane event. Insane. If anybody paid attention to it, did you guys follow it?
I followed it on Twitter, and then we talked about it. I think we talked a little bit about it on the Saturday show because one of your tweets.
Yeah, one of your tweets made it onto Kotaku's website.
Did it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did I it say? Was, what?
No, maybe, no, no. Your video that you took of the upset.
Yeah.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I
which
was on,
is crazy.
I was on Twitter and I saw your video. And I saw, you know, the upset or whatever from the crowd, you know, going crazy. And then when I went to go do show notes, they had an article on it. And when I scrolled down, the guy who wrote the article put your tweet inside of it, the reaction.
What? Heck, I didn't know that. Why didn't you guys share that with me?
I thought you did
know.
Hey,
Corey.
I had no idea.
By the way, your tweet was shared on
Yeah, there
Kotaku.
You go. Boom.
It was?
Yeah. Nailed it. Good job.
Thank you.
Let's see. That's horrendous.
It's Borat.
Nobody likes
it's
Borat.
It's hilarious.
Actually, you tell you God honest truth, I don't think I've ever watched anything Borat.
Like, I've seen Borat.
I've seen him, like, I know what he looks
no,
like.
No, I've seen the movie.
Yeah, see, I've never seen
but
that.
But beyond that, any of his other Borat-ish like, characters I have not seen.
What's his name? Sacha Baron Cohen or whatever? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
Not that big of a fan.
Who? His name's Borat. What are you talking about?
Okay, oh. Borat. Not that big of a fan.
Okay. That's cool. News to me. But that was a very shocking moment. This dude is untouchable. Like he's the best in the world. He's won the most tournaments. Like he's the top dog, and he did not even make top 32.
Wow!
Crazy upset.
But he's one of the head to heads, though, right? Like in the Civil War, he'd be a Captain America or Iron Man, right? He'd be one of those two,
Captain
right?
Captain America got killed in the prequel.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Of Civil War.
That's horrible. Like he has
but to clear it up too, Ally, the other guy who had a team, didn't make top 32 either.
So, then this is, what? I don't understand this. The top two don't make the top?
2GG has a curse. Who, whenever they put the guy's name on the poster, they always underperform. It's a freaking curse.
Oh, so that's the UFC.
It's always happened.
Or the NFL, Madden curse.
Yeah, it's like the Madden curse for the
Madden
cover
curse.
Of Madden.
Okay.
When you get your own tournament in the Smash community, you lose. It's just the way it is. And that's what happened this time. And it happened way earlier than anybody expected it to.
It's probably pressure. I mean, your name's up in bright lights right then and there, and they can't perform under the pressure of, oh, this is my tournament, you know? Yeah, well, then you need to sit down somewhere. Like, that dude, to me, I feel like, especially if the guy that lost that, you know, the article was written and you tweeted about and everything like that, like, you can't say anything anymore. There's no more track. You may be a good player still, but you still lost. To who? What was the other guy's name? Exactly. That's right.
I have no clue. You know, they gave this guy's like a hero's welcome, essentially. Like after he won, like they did all these special interviews. They were saying, "Follow this guy on Twitter."
Yeah, he's literally Jamie Lannister.
He went from 70 followers to like 1,000, like in 2 minutes. Like,
yeah,
he went through all this. Lost his next match and got eliminated.
That's fine. I would be fine. I would literally be fine.
Went back to 10 followers.
I would literally be fine because I took out one of the top dogs. I was like, you guys came here to see him. I came here to beat him. And I did. There it is.
Chat wants us to link the tweet. I still can't. I'm looking for the article as we speak.
On Kotaku?
Find it.
Yeah. Oh, just.
What's crazy, too, though, is while you're looking for that, is Zero, you guys look hella close to
I've been told that in the past. It's actually low-key the reason I grew the beard.
See, I saw that picture with that caption.
Yeah.
And before I even read the caption, I was like, holy hell, who is this dude that looks exactly like Corey? And then I read it, I was like, oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Now, he's a super cool guy. He's a very, very good friend of Nairo. It's different when you watch the guy lose when you've broken bread with the man. Because the night before, we had a good night, all of us. Went out, Zero, his coach, Nairo, myself, the other guy from Energy, Paradin, a bunch of people from the Smash community went out and got some steaks and to prepare for the tournament and just hang out and have some
protein
fun.
Protein up,
yeah. Bro down. And, I broke bread with the man. He was a good guy. I got to get to know him more. And, you know, we bullshitted around and just geeked out for a while. And then when you see him lose, it's like, fuck. Like, now I feel bad.
Yeah.
Like, before, I would have been like, oh, competition. Nairo's got an easier path to victory now. But then I was like, oh, fuck. Well, he's a cool dude.
Yeah.
I feel bad. And he went into, like, retirement talks on Twitter. Like, I'm done. I got to hang up the controller and stuff.
Yeah, you do.
For, like, 2 seconds. Then he came back, and the event ended well. Nairo also didn't top eight, so it was pretty a weird tournament. Just weird stuff happened. It
yeah.
Complete, who won the whole thing?
DaBuzz.
Okay.
DaBuzz right. has been around forever. He's been around since Brawl. Definitely deserved it. It was his first major win for a guy who's just been around and always, like, he's always been great. He's a... Who does he main?
Mario.
No. Lucinda or whatever? The one with the star? Who am I thinking of here?
Oh.
I don't remember her name. With the blue dress, though?
Yeah.
I can't remember her name,
backwards. Though. The one from Mario Galaxy.
Yeah.
Anyways, we got Joel... right here. How you been? Let's get to you. Let's tell us about Gaming Since Gaming, GamingSinceGaming.com.
I'm fine. I'm overwhelmed. So when you were like, hey, you want to come through? I'm like, oh, break. So, yeah. I've been overwhelmed, man.
So what are you overwhelmed with?
With Zelda. I didn't, like, I do strat guides. I think everybody knows that by now.
Well, yeah, so you do strat guides. You have a YouTube channel. Pretty successful. You do guides, and Zelda came out. How's it been? Like, is the traffic there? Are you succeeding?
On Karak seeds, like finding the Karak seeds, because they're fucking, there's 900 of them, and all you get at the end of this is like that little poop or something that's going around, a video of when you collect them all. The Hestu, the guy that was giving you weapon upgrades, gives you a little poop emoji looking thing or something like that for collecting 900 of them, and that pissed a lot of people off, but I mean, you have to look at it. It's the journey of doing that. The entire game, everything's a journey, like the whole thing. So,
what do you think about it, Aaron? I'm not collecting 900 of anything in any game.
Yeah, 900 is a bit too much. 100 was pushing it whenever we had to do that in like Borderlands.
Yeah,
and 900. Unless I'm getting, am I getting them in like big bunches? Like, oh, I just got 50.
No,
you're getting them in. Oh God! So people that have been leaving comments on my videos have said it's taken, say, like the second area has 60, I think. Karoxy's in it, right? They said it took an hour and a half to go through that entire video and collect them all.
Yeah, no.
So
no, that's artificial elongating a game. That's what that is.
Yeah,
I'm
collecting them as I go, because the places that they are. It's like you'll be walking through an area and you go, that spot looks weird. I'm going to go over there and look at it. And sure enough, that's how you collect them.
You just
it's
get
like,
one, though, right?
You just get one.
Yes, you know. 900? So you're crazy.
I'm just collecting them as I go.
No.
There is a purpose, right? It expands
your storage.
That's the thing about the journey. Actually, what those seeds do is a huge help. Because, you know, everybody complains about the durability in the game and the weapons, right? You expand all your melee slots, and you've got a shit ton of weapons. And so it's huge. Those Karak seeds are huge for that.
Okay, so if it does actually upgrade you, then that's a different thing. I thought this was just bland
collection. No, you're getting as you're collecting them, you're getting a really big reward and more slots, and that's huge in that game.
Okay, so yeah, that's a good thing to go for. I wouldn't have to perfect it. I don't know. Like, get the whole 900.
And
just enough to where I'm comfortable.
That's a catch, is to 100% get a 100% completion, you only have to collect 441 of them.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, I don't think...
It's 400.
Yeah, is that all? Yeah,
if 400. You're try hard, you get 900. But if you just want to get...
If you're a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So... We've been talking to, and maybe I'll bring this up on the Saturday show again when we do the another indie developer or whatever. But we've been talking with developers, and I really want to know how they think about collectibles, because we've never had any indie talks come in and be like, oh yeah, we put these little secret Easter eggs in, and you know, you can, if you collect 3,000 leaves, you know, you'll get you'll get a hat.
I've always appreciated the Halo approach.
The skulls?
One skull per level, and they're like in really tricky spots. So
but they do stuff,
yes,
right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, they do stuff.
Like, I could have sworn they modify
stuff as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's obviously an achievement for getting them, for if you're an achievement hunter.
Yeah.
If you like, you know, when a grunt explodes into confetti.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It does stuff like that. But, like, it doesn't distract from the game.
No.
For me, I'd play through Halo. If I happen to find one, dope. If not, it's like, okay, I beat the game. Let's go through and just try and find those skulls. Because, you know, they could be anywhere, and it's fun to hunt through the levels. So, like, it expands the game. It gives you something to explore, something new to attain once you've already completed the game. I like that rather than saying, hey, there's 900 of these pieces of shit across this giant open world. Have fun.
Yeah. It's a like I thought you guys were gonna be like, oh yeah, you get like 40 in one area just by like moving a bush and then boom, 40. It's 40. Yeah, yeah. But
no, but that's actually pretty close to what it is. You move a rock, boom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A little fairy
there,
thing.
There's some that are a little more difficult than yeah, some, that, but they're pretty much like that. It's
but there's one I specifically remember. It was like a hole, and then right next to it there's a rock. And I was like, I just pushed the rock in to the hole, and it boop. Popped yeah. up with a little fairy.
There will not be any collectibles like that in Aaron Carter's video game. So,
Brain, bang, oh, brain, oh, man. Brain, I wanted to hear brain, all about Aaron's brain, video game. Brain, but unfortunately, brain, bang, it's not going to happen. Brain, bang, damn.
Brain, you vote on Twitter, so. Then we brain bang.
My name is Borat. I like you. I like sex. It's nice.
All right. Do you see how it made the Brain Bang theme song even funnier? No. You add Borat to anything and it instantly becomes funny. That's what I'm sticking
What's
to.
What's the question today?
This week's Brain Bang question asked on NRG's official Twitter, which is at NRGGG, was Orisa on Overwatch is officially live and competitive. What type of player are you? And I put the options as insta-lock Orisa, avoid playing Orisa, yell at bad Orisa players, or other. Aaron, what are you?
With any new character, I'm avoid playing that person. I like to see somebody else on my team play him. And that's like literally like when I do Smite, I don't just jump to the newest character.
So you're like a combination of B and C. You avoid it, and you let somebody else do it, and you yell at them when they're doing it badly.
No. I won't yell at it if they do it badly because it's a new character, so it's like you don't know what you're doing with it, and neither would have I. So I usually avoid getting the new character, but I mean I haven't even played Orisa yet. So
with last place, 7% of the vote was other, and some people were saying that they don't play comp at all, but, you know,
smart people.
Insta-lock Bastion was another one.
There you go.
But a lot of people who voted this one said that they just don't play comp. They don't like it.
There you go.
21% are going to be the ones that insta-lock Orisa, which there's so many of those people.
Jagist in chat is one of those, actually.
An insta-locky.
See, I put in competitive. If Jagist is the type who does that in competitive, scum of the earth. Cannot stand
Holy
it.
Holy crap.
Okay. It's related quick. What was the last one, too?
The other one with 33% was avoid playing Orisa completely,
oh, okay.
Which is where I'm
at.
All right. I just stay away from it. I'll cozy my way in.
What do you think about the people that do though? Like you're playing on comp team, and then all of a sudden, boom, they lock right into Orisa. Two seconds into the fight.
They don't know what they're doing. They just threw for us, basically.
But it's like it's early.
They don't play her on comp. That's the thing. That's the key thing here. Is if she's early and you don't know how to play her, don't play her in competitive, play her in quick play, or play her in the PTR.
We had this conversation, me and Katie had this conversation last night, where it was about comp, because she was playing comp, and I was like, there's no purpose for comp. Like, she wants to keep up her rating or whatever, or, you know, and I'm like, and she was like, it's a different game playing from comp to quick play.
That's true. Yes.
To a degree.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. If both those concepts were gone and it was just, you know, Overwatch and they had no comp thing and it was just you play the game, those still competitors would be out there.
Yeah, but they would be in quick play. Or they would be in...
There's no quick play. They would just be playing. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So the only thing that changes is not the actual game, is the mentality of the player. So the player is changing. Not the actual game.
But that then changes the game. It changes the way the game is played.
It changes the way the game is played, right. Not the actual game. Well, so the whole idea of, you know, for me personally, getting into comp and then getting upset if you lose and stuff like that because you expected, I don't know, masters around you for some reason is just it's silly to me. Because I'm like, this is why I usually go and play, you know, quick play, because I know there's those people that are in, you know, in competition, and they're like, I want the best of the best. I don't, whatever, dude. So I'm going to go and play in quick play where people are just like, we're going to have fun with this.
In the kiddie pool. That's fine.
You don't care if you lose?
No, I don't. I mean, I've already gone perfect before, so I mean.
That's not true.
I've heard you rage.
Yeah.
You heard me rage on what? I'd really like to say.
Overwatch.
On Overwatch?
Yeah. If they're not on the checkpoint.
Because Aaron doesn't get irate and yell like Noel, he doesn't think he's raging.
Oh, yeah. See, exactly. That's raging, though. That's literally raging.
There's different levels. Yeah.
There's frustration.
It's a spectrum.
Now you're going to play the spectrum.
Aaron is definitely on the spectrum. If I've learned anything.
Everybody's on the spectrum,
there's,
man.
Yeah.
Like, everybody would be on the spectrum if you're going to play it that way.
His is more passive-aggressive.
And there's Noel. Don't care and Noel. You're, like, here.
No, I would move more towards the don't care.
You're in the middle.
Because there's some common sense. Because you'll hear me on the game, and I'll be like, this is stupid, guys. It's common sense. All you have to do, literally, the objective of the game is to stand next to this point. And that's just, like, that's me calling out the stupidity, yeah. But I'm not, like, raging, like, oh, I can't play this game anymore. Let me mute my microphone. Let me leave our chat room type of stuff.
Someone who you play with a lot in chat, Mo Fruity, says Aaron rages way more than he realizes. Fire Crotch Rocket says that you raged on that one Ninja Gaiden game with the scarf dude. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Game with the scarf dude.
I don't know. Someone's digging up some old bones. Number one on this week's Brain Bang question was 39%. They say that they will yell at Batarissa players. That's the answer I expected.
Raging?
Yeah, just like the Insta-Lock Genjis and the Insta-Lock Hanzos.
Yeah.
You know, if they... The thing is, never Insta-Lock anybody. Look at the playing field, see what the team is playing, and then adjust. I'll admit, I've played like 3 matches since Arissa's come out. I haven't played as much. Yeah, it's nice that people are picking tanks now. Like, I'm happy about that part of it. I wish they'd pick, you know, tanks they were better at playing. You know, maybe a Reinhardt every once in a while. But, you know, there's at least people are tanking. So.
But I figure with the competition, too, if I ever play comp, I have to be with a full squad or at least 4. Mm-hmm. Like, minimum. I can't go in like Mofruit goes in solo. And, like, you probably play solo, too, don't you?
I don't as much anymore.
I can't do that.
He has a crew now.
I need to know who's got my back out there, not some randos, because they have a different mindset. They play a different way than you do, and they don't know your tendency. It's very much like a soccer match. You can just get some random people that are really good and play together, but that doesn't mean they're going to be good as a team together.
All right. That's the point. I think we covered that one enough, so I want to say to Aaron.
Thank you.
Good Lord.
You did a good job there. See, Borat! It's so funny.
I can't wait for that to die.
You do soundboards, so I do soundboards. That's how this works. Yeah,
all right.
Next segment. Web selling his nudes. That's this week.
Right. All right. www.webnudes.org.
Did you say www.webnudes?
No.
It's a new thing.
Because
Worldwide Entertainment.
Did you hear about the big nude leak for the WWE?
Triple H's?
No. I don't know her name, but some British wrestler who was with WWE had a bunch of nudes leaked.
Yeah. Seen one nude wrestler, you've seen them all.
You talking about Triple H again, aren't you?
Yeah.
Basically. It's the trickle-down effect.
Did you figure out why he was called the Big Show?
When was he? I didn't call him the Big Show. Did you call
Was there more to that Big Show story that you didn't tell us about?
No. He sent me nudes right after, yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, bro. Here.
Oh, from what they're saying in chat, it wasn't just nudes. It was like full-blown porn.
Oh, wow.
There you go, Aaron. We'll give you something to do later.
Aaron, he said later. We try out of the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Everybody.
Yeah.
What do we got, Webb?
All right, so kicking it off, let's talk about Mass Effect, or the disaster known as Mass Effect Andromeda.
Trash Effect, yes.
Mass Effect?
Mass Effect. Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Wordplay. So as we know, Mass Effect Andromeda came out just a week ago, and it has come out as a complete disaster. We've all seen the videos of the face animations just
sure crap.
Prefacing with saying the single player is a complete disaster.
Single player is a complete disaster.
Because I actually did have fun with the multiplayer.
I just want to go out on a limb here and say that 2017 is a crazy year where Aaron is wrong all the time and I am somehow right all the time. All right,
everybody, go ahead and earmark this episode. Please. Come back to it at the end of the year. We'll revisit this during the Christmas episode.
So far, we have what evidence?
What are some big things that's come out that you've been wrong and Corey's been right? Let's go through it.
Let's talk about the Nintendo Switch's success.
Who said that wasn't going to be successful?
I'm pretty sure I called it. You said it was going to be the biggest flop.
You are a liar, so let's go ahead and pass right past that.
I think that's excessive.
I think he's just hinging on this Mass Effect thing.
Okay, that's what he's doing.
To carry him throughout the whole year. It is.
Starting now?
Yeah.
Starting now.
Well, hold on. Here we go.
Okay.
I told you Mass Effect was going to flop. I said, look at the facial animations. Like, it just looks like it's going to be a bad game. Not thought out.
When did you say this,
though? I said it all. Like, no, go back to the archives.
Because the only time that I ever kept, you know.
You fervently disagreed. You thought that the the animations weren't going to be
because you have
a deal.
No. I said I'd have to play it because I saw the animations. And it's already on record. So you can go back and listen. I was like, I got to play it for myself, which I did.
Where you said many times this was game of the year.
I did, yeah. Hands down, I said that plenty of times.
You admit that was wrong.
I admit that that is definitely wrong now.
I want to just get up and do the Maury, like, I'm not the father dance right now.
I don't know why.
I just got justified.
But I had all cause and reason to believe so leading up to the release.
Because of the title?
No. Yeah, because of the Mass Effect.
Because of the history already of it. It literally should have just been a copy and paste. That's all it should have been. But here's things that I didn't even take into account, and I should have. This was my own fault.
It was a rookie mistake.
It was definitely.
Honest.
It definitely was, because I didn't do my research.
You day one this.
I didn't.
That was so surprised.
I didn't do my research. That's one. I didn't, you know, look into the fact that it's a different development team. That's other.
It's like the French or
it's like
Canadian?
Canada. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't know what they're doing.
Chat here is saying that you said many times that Mass Effect would be a better game than Breath of the Wild.
Yes. Yeah, you did.
I have said that. I definitely did say that.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Joel, you've played Breath of the Wild, right? When you run, do you squat? Like you try to take a dump? Okay.
No, there's... Because
you do that in Mass Effect Andromeda.
There's fundamental problems with... Like, it doesn't even seem like it's animation problems. It just seems like it's coding problems. I just ran down the steps yesterday when I was playing the game, and I'm, like, jumping each step. And I was like, what? There's not even a jump button in this game for the regular areas. And so, you know, the developers, this new group of people, they just totally dropped the ball when it came to this. And my final straw, for the single player at least, was the fact that... there was no karma system. They took that Paragon and Renegade feature out of the game.
You're just
doing stuff. So it's literally a watered down version of the old game.
Yeah.
What if they take the mechanics and the open world meat and bones of
No Man's Sky?
No Man's Sky.
Okay.
And take the storytelling aspects
of Mass Effect. I've said that many episodes ago, and I said that would be a very, very good game.
Because they went open world on this new Mass Effect, and it's a disaster.
Yes. Well, I haven't got to the open world, so I can't say that yet. But from the videos I've seen, then, yeah, that seems to be the case, that the open world was a mistake on this part. Thought with the idea that they had of you being this Pathfinder, you're away from the original. It's actually a very telling thing that you play as a character that's so far removed from the original game, it's not even good anymore. That's what it is. And I don't know. They should apologize. Like, I literally think they should come out and say something. And
but you let you say that. So BioWare responds to the Mass Effect feedback
with a giant apology.
They're going to give it free to everybody.
I
refund everybody.
Okay, there you go. There you go. I will be first in line.
So the studio says that they have listened to feedback
on
Andromeda since its release into the game, and they have immediate plans on April 4th to improve the game.
You know what? Did they go on? Please, I'm going to let you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah, I'm going to let you finish.
The exact statement was, it's been a week since we officially launched Mass Effect Andromeda worldwide, and we cannot be more excited that our fans are finally experiencing everything that we've worked so hard to create. Let me pause there. Worked so hard to... Did you work that hard?
I feel like...
I don't feel like they worked that hard.
They looked me in the face, and they slapped spit. You.
Yeah.
No, they spit.
They spit?
They spat in my face.
They spit on their hand and then slap you?
Not even that much.
It's like a double whammy.
Like I said, the multiplayer is cool. Because they didn't do anything but copy and paste like they should have done.
That's why everyone buys Mass Effect.
No, that's why Jerry bought it. Jerry hadn't even played the single
Jerry
player.
Jerry is not the crux of any argument that you want to be on.
He bought the special edition for the multiplayer.
That's sad.
Like, yeah. That's what he did. Go ahead, though.
They continue with, we've received quite a bit of feedback, some of it positive and some of it critical.
That's a lie.
I think that's
I don't know who's saying that positive. Yeah.
The feedback is an important part of our ongoing support of the game, and we can't wait to share more of our immediate plans with you on Tuesday, April 4th.
April 4th. I will be front row center.
They stress that players should keep sending their feedback and that they are working around the clock to improve the game. They also followed up with a statement on the facial animations, because that's one of the worst things about it. And they're saying, we're looking into patching a lot of issues and want to strongly support the game moving forward.
Like
Corey's bold claim, 2017.
Okay.
And I think I said this on a past show, but I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to be right, Aaron. Destiny 2 is going to wipe its ass with Mass Effect 3 or Mass Effect Andromeda.
You're setting a very
it's gonna wipe its
you're
butt.
Trying you're it's like, hey Corey, here's a rock, try to hit water in the middle of the ocean.
Well, your argument
that's for, exactly what you're doing.
Your argument for day one-ing Mass Effect is the same as my argument for day one-ing Destiny.
That's not accurate.
It's terribly
because
accurate.
One had a history that was positive. One had a history that was negative. How is that accurate?
What are you talking about? No. Here we go. I'm wrapping it up, Bungie.
For Destiny 1, is that what you're saying, or Destiny 2?
I'm just saying my relationship with Bungie.
Hold on. Okay, then.
Is why
I'm
excited about Destiny 2.
So your relationship with Bungie in the beginning was beautiful.
It's still...
Halo.
It was rocky.
Halo.
Times.
No. Halo franchise. Immaculate. Great,
yes.
Right?
Halo 1 through
multiplayer was awesome.
4?
Story was
until
awesome.
Until 363 or 464 took it over. Yeah.
They made all right. They did.
I mean,
343.
No.
Yeah.
Joel's like, no. F that noise.
But that wasn't even Bungie, right?
No.
That's Halo. Still, nonetheless, Bungie did you right.
I love Bungie.
Then, Bungie went and had plastic surgery and came back to you with something called Destiny, and they were a guy
now. They broke
now.
My heart.
Yeah. They were a guy now, and you were dating a dude for a little bit.
Well, what's wrong with that? It's 2017.
Yeah, you go right on ahead then, bro. And yeah,
you're talking to the guy that advocated sexual encounters with aliens.
Yeah,
with
I know.
So
that's exactly what he did.
My sister, she's a prostitute.
And you were dating your sister in Destiny. That's basically what you were doing.
Well, Here's the thing.
So that's what I'm going off of. You can, I'll agree with you.
So you're saying when Andromeda 2 Electric Boogaloo comes out,
I won't get it.
You will not get it.
No, day one.
Yeah.
No. They have some proving to do. It's the same thing. Like, okay, if I was in your shoes, okay, and I'm like, I love Halo.
I'll believe it when I see it because, I hate to bring it back to Maury, but you see it on Maury all the time. The guy's abusive. But she comes on to Maury, and she goes, but I still love him.
He watches a lot more Maury.
I work from home now. Okay?
But when have I ever gone back to a franchise that's been bad, though? Like, oh, this franchise was bad, and now I'm coming back to it.
Here's where I think...
Look at that 3 ending.
And
you came back sucking on the teat day one.
No, that's a small part of a bigger game, and the multiplayer was crazy good. The freaking story mode was good all the way up to the last 5 minutes.
Although I was upset with the way Destiny set their business plan up and screwed me financially.
Okay.
I thought that the game handled like a dream. I loved the game.
I thought
that mechanically it was an awesome game. I played through the story. I put a lot of hours into the game.
I know you did.
I think correct me if I'm wrong, Corey, but you're looking at the final product of Destiny. What Destiny is now versus what Destiny was day one.
You're looking at post-op Destiny. They've learned
what they've done wrong. They've corrected the issues that you had originally with the game. And now you know that moving forward, they know what not to do. They're not going to make the same mistakes. They're going to move forward
This is the thing where I can say...
He said, baby, I'm sorry.
They might make some mistakes. Only because the articles that we've done stories on about them now being rushed to make the game, the lack of dedication for the 10-year cycle...
Okay.
And pushing it down to how many?
I
want to
hear from Joel on this a little bit. Cause, yeah. Joel, show Joel, chat your sweater real quick. Look at that. He's wearing a Destiny
sweater.
That's
fine. Continue.
What were you saying? Like,
there's too much evidence for me not to put this as a day one buy. Destiny as the end product was a game. That's what I'm going to put it as right there. Was a game. But, enjoyable by some, but it's too much stuff beforehand for me to be like, okay, this is a day one buy. You're going to buy this day one, right, Corey? Destiny 2.
Yeah. I think it's a mistake not to buy a day one because... Destiny has learned from has learned from its mistakes, and they've learned what to do and what not to do. This is gonna be, honestly, it's just gonna be a more polished. I wouldn't say Destiny 1. It's gonna be more advanced Destiny 1, but I mean, it's going to be everything that you wanted from Destiny 1, and if you're a multiplayer guy, so I mean,
co-op, yes, correct.
Why the hell would you not pick up? It's based on the multiplayer, playing with your friends and playing with other people. Why would you not play a game that's like polished, unlike Andromeda? It doesn't make sense.
Actually, he brings up a great point. In fact, when you look at it
on
paper...
Watch me deconstruct this whole thing.
Aaron, when you look at Destiny 1 on paper, what they told us it was going to be as opposed to what we got...
Yes, in the beginning.
You must admit that...
In the beginning...
It was my game. Alley.
And there's probably a podcast out there. Before the game even came out with details, besides the first like little inklings... I was fully on board Destiny.
So
I was waiting on it.
Destiny, if you were to buy Destiny today,
yes.
Well, you never bought it, right?
No. Why?
So there's a good chance. You didn't get screwed over like I did with Destiny.
Very true.
So
I had to watch friends get screwed over.
You could probably pick the game up today, you know, and not get screwed the way I was and have a very good time and actually get addicted into the game. There's so much there now, and you won't have to pay for it, and it won't be trickle-fed to you. Now, as it sits as a game, I believe you would have a lot of fun with it.
This is what I'm trying to save you guys from. And you're literally, it's right in front of your faces.
What?
But for some reason, you guys just don't see this. I was hyped for Mass Effect Andromeda before I even knew the features of the game.
Right.
The same way you guys are hyped for Destiny 2 before knowing the features of the game. You're going off of what you... played before. I was going off of what I played before, right?
Sort of.
No. It was 100%.
Right, okay, yes.
That's all I was going off of.
But here's the difference. We know it's the same dev team. You did not know it was a different dev team.
That's true.
But if you also had known it was a different dev team, you would have been more apprehensive.
I would have been a little more cautious, yeah.
We know it's the same one.
It's the same dev team with a little less more time than they had before. So you guys are expecting...
I wouldn't say that.
We literally did a full story on it.
I'm pretty sure they've been working on this game
for a long time.
So then you...
Okay, but I know where you're going now.
Yeah,
now you're going back to the 10-year argument, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
but
you're
here's
telling
the thing.
Me...
Destiny...
When do you think they started... When do you think they started development on this game?
Okay, hold on.
At the Taking King.
Probably a couple of years. Probably... He's probably right. Probably the Taking
King. When did
Taking King come out? They never said that they were going to... Whether or not they were going to break it up like they're doing into Destiny 1, 2, however many they go.
Destiny as a franchise is a 10-year franchise.
They never said that...
Kiss my entire anus, people. Give me this 10-year franchise BS.
It's never been done before either. With console like that.
How long did Halo stay on?
Halo's not almost like an MMO. It's borderline MMO.
Destiny.
Yeah, Destiny is. That has not been done. A shooter?
The Taken King came out 2 years ago.
Aaron, mm-hmm. I implore you, please, when Destiny 2 comes out, let's buy it together.
I'm not buying it day one, no.
Let's buy it day one together and experience it top to bottom.
Are you going to get... Wait for the sound cue.
Good lord.
No, okay. Are you gonna get on PS4 then? Because you were looking at PC.
It is coming out on the PC, which I'm stoked about. But if Aaron Day wants it, I will get it on the PS4.
Yeah, no.
I guess PS4.
I guess he's getting it on the PC then, everybody. Okay. I'm not day wanting this game. I'm sorry.
That's the most fun I had in Destiny was the very, like, when I bought it that day and all my friends were playing with me.
Yeah.
And we were grinding together. That was the most fun.
That was some of the best times.
It was magical.
Yes.
That three-man group that you guys played in must have been magical.
You're going to get left behind. They're going to leave you behind, and they're going to be like, you're going to join and be like, well, fuck, I can't even play anything with them because I'm, like, level two.
Oh, they're going to do one of those things. Okay.
If story-based like Destiny 1, you're going to get boned. You're going to get left behind,
let's
and then you're
going
to have all your friends carrying you.
Let's talk about the teaser, because there was a pretty big teaser that just came out for Destiny 2. Did you get to see this, anyone at the table?
I watched the teaser. Which teaser? I've seen...
The Nathan Fillion one.
Yeah.
Where he's at the bar?
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
Telling the story. Did you watch it, Joel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not enough to get hyped about, in my opinion.
It was funny. It was very well done marketing.
Very well done.
Marketing, yes.
Yes, very well done.
And that's marketing. When I looked at it, and I was like, damn it, I should know better. I've taken marketing classes. I should not be sucked in on this.
The marketing never gets me anymore. I was like, this is a cool, you know, marketing and stuff like that. But then when he turns off and he runs to go shoot stuff and everything like that, I literally saw Destiny 1 again. Like, I was like, okay, they had kind of that same thing.
They had guns.
Yeah,
they had guns.
That's basically what it was.
So, for those of you who haven't seen the trailer or a teaser, just quick rundown. You have Cade 6, who is the robot.
Vanguard Hunter.
He's the hunter who is telling the story about how the Cabal break into the tower. Which in Destiny, Aaron, it's like the hub. It's like the Citadel.
Okay, yeah.
So, he's doing his humorous recount. He's shooting this guy and that guy and da da da. And then it zooms out and he's talking to one of the sweeper droids. And you see a shot come through. The camera pans to like the front of him and you see it's still the battle. He's in the middle of a war zone and he just stopped to get a drink. So he walks out and you hear one of the other vanguards yell at him like, you know, could you take any longer kind of thing. People are breaking it down and they're looking at the fact that you're down in the city. It's just marketing. It's just a teaser. Tomorrow, actually, on the 30th, we're going to get an actual
full-blown gameplay trailer with some explanations of what's in the game. Gameplay.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
I don't know. Bungie's releasing the official trailer for the game. I don't know what we're going to see in it. I know what I'd like to see in it, but people are speculating based on the teaser that we may actually get to see more of the city. Because in Destiny, you didn't go down in the city. You were up at the tower. You could see the city, but that was it.
Okay.
So that's one thing. People are looking at lots of different armor that you see the other characters have in the background. Like you see a warlock and a hunter running in the background, and the armor and the cloak that they have is armor and cloaks that you can get in the game currently. One of the Cabal has dual wielding cleavers, which people are wondering, okay, well, if they're dual wielding, do we get to dual wield? Like, that'd be pretty cool. I don't think we...
No.
Bungie likes, does anything, it's in sequels allowing you to dual wield.
Yeah.
And then you'll never get to do it again.
And
that was, like, my favorite part of Halo
2. Yeah, because Halo 2, right? You could dual... Yeah. And then never again. Right.
Any single-handed weapons, you were able to dual wield.
Yeah.
I think that, Aaron, what you're missing out on, too, of Destiny, that maybe you don't understand why maybe I love it so much, is the fact that as a shooter, as just a pure shooter, the controls and the guns were just so slick. It really did feel like a very cohesive, mechanically brilliant shooter. Like the way that the guns responded that's super important. Like even in Borderlands, as much as I love that game, you don't look at that and go like, oh man, the shooting mechanics are awesome. It's kind of just loosey-goosey is how I would describe it. And then, you know, we're in the era of, like, all the other games where it's so hyper-realistic with the aiming and shooting and stuff,
right.
Like your Call of Duties and your Battlefield, so I never really get that feeling there. Destiny 1 just felt like such an amazing shooter, and I'm just looking forward to those mechanics. Like, I want to play, and that's why people in chat are going back and forth between PS4, PC, what are you going to choose? I've had such a good experience with this shooter with controller, That's not the issue. I'm not thinking PC so I can aim better with the mouse and keyboard, because I quite like the way Destiny felt with the controller.
Has that been confirmed? PC?
Yeah. It was on the poster.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, I'm not going to day one this game. I won't count it out as to not buying it. I won't say, like, I will not buy this game. Because I really hope. I hope for the best. I hope they did learn their lessons. But right now, they're just giving me a lot of evidence that is like, hey, you might have some issues that you have to get past first. And I'm not down for downloading, you know, another expansion to make your game better. Mm-hmm. Like, if Mass Effect were to do the same thing right now, like, hey, download this and you have better facial animations and everything. You're right. You're dying over there, man.
Lips
dying. Jeez.
Eyes are all watery. This is crazy.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it either. Like, you know, fool me once. That's the whole thing. Fool me once.
I would say if they do what they did with Destiny 1 to Destiny 2, I would just write off Bungie at that point. But I don't think that's going
to
be the case this time.
I'd be one step closer to doing that, but
see, not one quite. Step closer.
No,
like I've already written off BioWare. Like they've
but
do
that was
that.
An outside development. I mean,
they chose them. They knowingly chose them. It's not like they didn't. You know, they was like they threw a dart on the wall and then it just hit something. It's like you develop Mass Effect Andromeda. No, they chose these people. So they felt that their
that's
franchise
on you.
Yeah, they felt their franchise was safe in these people's hands.
Well, I mean, the one thing I was going to say is you were riding on franchise hype because you're excited for the game in general.
Yes.
And fucking I brain farted.
And that's what happens.
What else we got, Webb? Yeah. Next story.
Overwatch World Cup has officially started. They're doing it a little bit differently this year. So this year what they're doing is they're starting to monitor the top 100 players and look at their SR rating. From there, that process is going to run until April 26th. And from there, that's how they're going to pick the people from each country.
You sound like shit.
Yeah, I do.
What's going on? What happened? Like, in the last 5 minutes, your health is just completely degraded.
Could be the fan going on in
that
there.
Could be, actually.
Yeah.
Got something stuck in my throat, and it just killed me. So, thank you. Top 100 players from each country in order to determine the national average. From there, the top 32 nations will be determined, and each participating nation must vote on an Overwatch World Cup national committee. This is going to be made up of coaches, analysts, and other authorities who are going to recommend the rosters for each stage of the competition. And then from there, the tournament itself is actually going to go be in four live group stages from Europe, North America, and Asia, pitting eight national teams against each other until they get down to the final two, which are going to go for the championships in at BlizzCon. Right now, you can see the ratings, and U.S. is actually ranked number 3 in the world right
now. Nice. Very nice. Let's go, USA.
You got South Korea as number 1. Of China course. Is number 2.
Of course.
And then the U.S. Sweden is a little far, a little bit further behind us. And then you got U.K., France, Canada, Finland, Germany, Denmark, and
Where's
Russia.
Finland?
That's what I want to know.
I want to live in Finland.
Finland.
So is the goal here to not just go with, like, already professional gamers and streamers? Like
that's what it sounds
time?
Like. It sounds like they're trying to get a team that represents more of the country rather than just these pro players. They want to go from players that may not, they're good enough, they're pro level players because they're looking at the top 100, but not just have these people that are already career players.
Interesting. Blizzard's got so much going on right now. Like, Overwatch League is going to be massive, and, like, that's the biggest thing that I've been paying attention to. That's why I had no idea that this world thing was going on. From an org perspective, I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't even heard the players talking about it.
Yeah.
But Overwatch League, on the other hand, is going to be nuts. It's going to be bananas. And they're estimating some crazy numbers that, like, in the first year, it's going to be profitable up to like 100 million or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I want to know how much of that's going to be from the teams bidding on these cities, because if you've seen those articles too, they're thinking it's going to be like 10 to 15 million just to have a team in the Overwatch League.
That's ridiculous.
And get it tied to a major city.
If they do cities, I don't know. That's a lot of money to to have a team, though. Like, why? Why do you need that much? Or why does it cost that much to have a team?
I have no idea.
What are they wearing, like, gold-studded jerseys or something like that? Is diamond-encrusted mouses and keyboards? What are we? Why do you need 15 mil for that?
I have no idea how financially it's going to make sense. It's a gamble, I think, for everybody who's involved, because Overwatch hasn't been out long enough. I mean, it has had this meteoric rise,
obviously. But it's popular, yeah.
You can't deny that.
Yeah.
It is popular, but whether it's going to not just die, you know, with a couple bad updates can kill it, maybe?
So you're talking about the League, Blizzard's League for Overwatch, right?
Yeah.
Is the one that they're trying to tie teams to cities.
Yeah.
And how many teams were they looking at? Like, how many?
I think 16, maybe?
16? Are they trying to do it, like, actual, like, East and West type of thing? Or, you know, 8 cities in the East, 8 cities in the West? Like, are they just random anywhere in the U.S.?
I think initially it's semi-random.
Specific cities.
Oh.
I think it is specific cities. Hmm. I think they got to be, you know, of a certain size. I don't think you're going to see Modesto.
Yeah, that's true.
Fresno
yeah.
or something yeah, like
it's,
that. Yeah.
It's going to be a team that has probably other major league sports teams, at the very least.
Clean yourself up there, Webb.
Yeah.
You're dying.
I'm dying.
Yeah, this is getting very disgusting. This is like, if you're listening to the podcast, you made a good choice.
Yeah,
you did.
Thank God.
If you're watching this shit show, good Lord. Do we have another story? Do you have the energy to give us another one before you die?
Yeah, I can squeeze one more out.
Phrasing.
That's there. There's a virus going around.
So Spider-Man, we got a Spider-Man Homecoming trailer, and Sony said something weird after we got the announcement. We see a spokesperson trying to get her name, Pascal. Is her last name?
Pascal.
Pascal, yeah. She used to be a rep for Sony. Now she's still a producer, but she doesn't necessarily speak for Sony. But she came out and said something really odd, that she mentioned how these three studios, Marvel, Disney, and Sony, worked together. And yeah, that's never happened before. And then she came out and said, and that may never happen again. And then she corrected herself after Homecoming 2.
Ooh.
So it's really weird and random. Everybody's kind of like, well, what do you mean it may never happen again? Is Sony already talking about pulling Spider-Man out of the MCU?
I could see something like that happen, though, only because Marvel came in with a good story. They pumped up the popularity of our franchise. Now we're going to take them back, and we're going to do our own thing.
Isn't there some kind of contract that would make them not be able to do it?
Probably. I mean, I would hope so.
It depends if Marvel was able to write it into the contract. We have him for X amount of years.
I hope they're smart enough now. I mean, they weren't smart when they sold off all the freaking franchises a while back.
Just quick going around the table. I wasn't too impressed with the trailer. I'm not as hyped for this as I think a lot of people probably are, particularly in our circle of people around here. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those things that annoys the hell out of me, because people are just going to like it because it's Spider-Man. I wasn't impressed with the trailer, Aaron.
I like it. Coming-of-age story. I like the fact that he goes out there, loses Tony Stark's trust, has to get the suit taken away from him. You know, shame on you type of thing. I do like the fact that his best friend wore the suit. Yeah, it's a little chubby Spider-Man.
Pretty funny. Who is that kid?
It's never happened
in a Spider-Man.
Yeah,
the whole thing is he internalizes it, you know, and it's this big issue. In this one, Tony Stark knows who it is. His best friend knows who it is. I don't like that they're going with the YouTube angle again. They did this in the last reboot.
Modernizing it.
Yeah, that's I didn't like it. And then also, you know, they're doing the whole holding two things together.
That's his. You know what? That was in Sony's contract.
New Year.
You have to hold things together.
Yeah. He has to hold stuff together.
Same shit.
What do you think? I'm not writing it off, but I'm not super hyped.
Joel?
I think it's going to be entertaining. I think I'm going to be along what you said. I'm going to be one of the people who just like it because of Spider-Man. It looks good.
Who else is going to like it? I think my sister might like it. And you want to know a little interesting fact about my sister?
My sister, she's a prostitute.
cracks me up every time.
You might as well just name this episode that my sister, she's a prostitute.
No, please don't. I don't want to do that artwork.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
That's a great show. Joel, tell everyone where they can find you on the internet.
GamingSenseGaming.com, GamingSenseGaming.com, over at YouTube.com/GamingSenseGaming. Twitter is GamingSenseGaming without the vowels.
All right, and if, as always, I mean, you know, it's fun to watch us live, I'm sure, for you guys on Twitch and Facebook and all that, but it's even better to listen because you can take us with you in the car. So if you want to do that, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, everywhere you can find podcasts, you can find the Video Game Bang. Give us a sub, give us a rate, and we will definitely appreciate that. But as always, for myself, David Webb, Aaron Carter, and Joel Gaming Since Gaming, you've just been banged.